Blog Talk Radio.
Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy end of Sabbath to you all. We in happy feast of unleavened bread to everyone. We pray that everybody has eaten well in the word of the Most High on today and that you've gotten to prescribe rest. I want to say we welcome everybody in Blog Talk, in Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
We are going to continue on this evening in discipleship, eternal judgment. And we're going to pick up where we left off at this morning. And I pray that you got something out of the lesson on this morning. We are instructed that, you know, what we have is so valuable that we are not supposed to just let people just treat it any kind of way. We're not supposed to ourselves treat it any kind of way, but it should be valuable to us. And when we offer this gospel to people, that, you know, we have to understand that what we're offering them is the most valuable thing in the world. And so if they reject it, then we're supposed to act a certain way. We went over those things this morning. So I just want to say happy Sabbath to my sisters. Good evening, Sister Denise and Sister Mary.
Good evening, Brother Miles. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Good evening, Brother.
Did y'all have a good day today?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Amen. No wind storms?
Actually, no.
No.
Has it started to warm up yet?
A little bit.
A little bit? 1 degree warmer?
A little bit. Yeah, it's a little
right, amen.
It's okay.
Amen. All right. We are, as people join in, I'll open up their phones. On tomorrow morning, the heave offering or the Feast of the First Fruits, I was not aware that a lot of people in Israel don't celebrate this, and I think they confuse it with Easter. They don't want to celebrate it or haven't been celebrating. I don't know what the deal is because of the church, but this is the Feast of the First Fruits. And there is a requirement in this feast that I don't think Israel does, that, you know, I found last year, and so I wanted to incorporate it into this year's observance, because after, you know, I did the study last year on this particular feast, I found that there's an actual oath that we're supposed to be reciting in accordance with the Feast of the First Fruits. We know that this also represents Messiah, and so we're going to, you know, celebrate his resurrection on tomorrow. He is the first fruits from the dead. And then we're supposed to make a heave offering. And so we want to make the heave offering. We want to heave up Messiah also. We want to, you know, he says, if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. So we want to do the things that are necessary, but then as part of the feast, as part of this, the first fruits that the Most High told us that we should do, let's quickly go, before we get started, let's quickly go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. I want to see if anybody else was aware of this. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And this is before we start. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, let me get myself there, telling you to say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 26, and I want to start in verse 1, okay? Now, this is where the feast of the heave offering and the feast of first fruits is initiated. And it shall be when y'all are coming to the land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein. Thou shalt take of the first fruit of all the land, take up the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose to place his name there. Now in the time of the temple, they would just bring it to the temple. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto Yah thy Elohim. Now they got to make a profession here, right? Must say, I profess this day unto Yah thy Elohim that I am come unto the country which Yah thy has swore unto my fathers for to give us. Now we're not in that land right now, so we're not going to profess this part. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of Yah thy Elohim. And thou shalt speak and say before Yah thy Elohim, Assyrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto Yah, Elohim of our fathers, Yah heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And Yah brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, with signs and with wonders. Let's see. And Yah, okay, and in verse 9, and he has brought us into the place, and has given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land. So they were required to bring the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Yah, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before Yah thy Elohim, and worship before Yah thy Elohim. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing. Now, this is supposed to be a joyous occasion, because we are supposed to be, what, prospering?
Right.
And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which Yah thy Elohim has given unto thee, and unto thine house. Thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you, when thou hast made an end of tithing. Now, this is where this gets sticky, and I'm wondering why people don't observe this. And when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year. So every third year, you're supposed to make another oath, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say, now this is the oath that they have to say, that we are supposed to be saying. Then thou shalt say before Yah thy Elohim, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and unto the fatherless, and unto the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of Yah my Elohim, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. So in this, we are supposed to actually repeat the oath that we have brought his hallowed things to him. Anybody ever heard that before?
Nope, this is my first time. I have read this, but I never connected it.
Okay. All right, amen. And Sister Denise, you're saying you have never heard it? Okay. Yeah, this is part of the heave offering, the first fruits. Now, just like every third year, there's a day that the Most High appoints that we come and have a party with him. And we bring the tithe of the third year, we bring it and we give it to the Levite, to the stranger, and to the homeless. And they partake of that tithe. Typically, we bring the tithe to who? Just the Levite. To the priesthood. But he says the tithe of the third year, he wants the fatherless and the widows and the homeless to take part in it, that they take part in this party. But also, we're supposed to make an oath to him that we have what brought his hallowed things, his holy things. Everything that he's told us to do, we have done. We have obeyed his voice. And as part of this feast, part of the observance of the heave offering, So this is what this belongs with. And tomorrow I will teach, I will get the other scriptures that so that we know that we're supposed to do this and that this is tied to this offering. So I'll show it by the scriptures from Leviticus and from Exodus and Deuteronomy. We just read Deuteronomy. And then I'll tie it to the New Testament, what we're supposed to do with Messiah. But the Most High, you know, he wants us to make an oath with him, to him, that we have done what he said to do. All right, amen?
Amen.
Okay. So I will teach that in the morning as we do the observance of this, the heave offering. And we celebrate Messiah's resurrection from the dead. He is the first fruit of those from the dead. So this feast day, the feast of the first fruits, the heave offering, points to Messiah in the New Testament, just like Passover pointed to Messiah. All these things that pertain to him and point to him, we celebrate the Passover because he what? Became our Passover?
Right.
We celebrate the Feast of the First Fruits because he is the first fruits. And then we celebrate Pentecost because that's when he released the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So on tomorrow I will teach this lesson and we'll read the scriptures pertaining to this so that we know that this is the time that he sent us and we are commanded to do it. So we're going to be in observance of this. Okay. And shalom, Brother Gary. I think you may be at work. As people come on, I will open up their phones. And let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. We are continuing in eternal judgment. And, you know, I got a call this morning from one of the brothers in New York. And, you know, it was, you know, telling me some things he was going through. But, you know, he was commending us on the ministry. He says, you know, because he says, if people will take the time to listen to what you're saying, they will see that what you're telling them is the truth. And you know, they can choose to do it or not, but he says, this is helping me so much that, you know, it's improving his walk with the Most High. And so, you know, we always want to know that the word is doing somebody some good. Amen?
Well, this is good, brother. That's amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So let us do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let's turn toward the east and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give Yah our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. All praises to you, O Yah Elohim. All praises to you. All glory and honor and majesty are yours. All power is yours, Father. Hallelujah. We just celebrate you on this day. Father, as we come before you, we remember that Messiah was about to step out of the tomb. Hallelujah. At this time, the end of the Sabbath, he was coming out of the tomb so many years ago, Father. Hallelujah. And we just want to remember that. Thank you, Yah.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. We will go over, like I said, we'll go over some of this stuff tomorrow as in remembrance as part of the heave offering. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And the 23rd Psalm will be our reading for this evening, the 23rd Psalm. Yah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. May the Most High bless him to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we are, as I said, continuing in the precept discipleship, and we are looking into eternal judgment. Let us go to the book of Matthews. Now, let us go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Set the foundation first. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1, or in verse 1, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Elohim, of doctrines of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and the resurrection from the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if Elohim permit. All right. May the Most High add a blessing to his word. This is where the foundation of the doctrines and the principles of Messiah, of Mashiach. We are in eternal judgment. Now let us go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. And our reference verse will be 30, but we're going to start reading above that. Matthew, chapter 13, and let's start reading in verse. Let's see. This is the parable of him, you know, the sower sowing. Starting verse 18. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 18. And if you have it, you'll say amen, please.
Amen.
Amen. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence or from where then has it tares? Why does it have tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay, so in this parable, he's saying that the wheat and the tares are going to do what? Grow together. The wheat and the tares are going to come up together. In everything that we do, if we, you know, had a large congregation, we're going to have some good and we're going to have some what? Bad. Okay. You're going to have those that are saying that they're doing the will of the Father and they're not. And you have those that are doing the will of the Father saying they're doing the will of the Father and they are. Wheat and tares. Hold on a minute, please. I got to, you know, my son is going to have to control this. Give me a hot second. All right. So the wheat and the tares grow up together. But who's going to be gathered first?
The tares.
I'm hearing tares. I'm hearing wheat.
What
does verse? What does verse 30 say?
That them both grow together until harvest, and at that time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares.
First the tares, those people. So who's going to be gathered first? The tares, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But who does the church tell you is going to be gathered?
Well,
they say the saints.
Right.
But Messiah said, I'm going to have the tares gathered first out of my kingdom. Then I'm going to gather the wheat. Because he don't want to mix the wheat and the tares together at the harvest. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So the wheat, the tares are gathered first. All those in a tare, they're where are they at? They're coming up with the harvest, right? They're in the church.
Yeah.
They're in the body, and they may even think that they're weak. But they're a tear. They are being hard-headed. They won't listen. They never converted. Still running around in their sin. He said, no, don't pull them up. Don't pull them up. Unless they do something real grievous, don't even put them out. At least they might repent. But if they're a tear when it comes to the harvest time, they're going to be the ones pulled up first. So you can have all these people disappear and say, well, what, you know, we must have missed the rapture. But who's he gathering first?
The tares.
The tares. So if you left behind, you're supposed to be left behind. If you gathered first when he comes, you were a tear. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, the church and most teachers are teaching you, they're going to come and gather the saints. But he says, before I gather the saints, I'm going to gather the tares. All those that are bound for the lake. Okay. Verse 40. Let's drop down to verse 40 in that same chapter. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as therefore the tares are gathered, and what?
Burned in the fire.
What happened to the tares? Burned in fire. Amen. So shall it be in the end of this world. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to gather the tares first, and they're going to be thrown into the fire. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that are holy. All the saints. Is that what it says in 41?
Nope. It's all that offend.
All things that offend. I'm going to leave the holy behind. I'm going to gather everything that is offensive and them that do iniquity. So when people start disappearing, you might question your salvation because you've been taught that the saints are going to be gathered first. That left behind theories. Anybody ever heard of that?
Right.
There are theories out there, a TV series, a book series called Left Behind.
Right.
And everybody that was left behind was wicked. They were told that they were the sinners. But what did the scripture say?
That the tares are gathered first.
Amen. And they're going to be burned in the fire. Verse 42. Let's read verse 41 again. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. How is it that they got this backwards?
I don't know.
Because they don't have ears to hear. It is not given to them to understand. They read it, but they still don't get it. Because they're not believing what Messiah said. They're taking scriptures and he's setting an order. He's telling us what's going on. But when it says that Messiah shall descend from heaven with the trump of Elohim and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him, what has to happen before that? If that's true, what has to happen before that? Somebody else got to be taken out first.
The tares have to be taken out first.
That's right. The tares have to be taken out first. So that is the order. Tares are taken out. Then he comes. He says, I don't want to, you know, everything that offends in my kingdom, I want my angels to take it out. Now, you got people who are going to make it into the kingdom. Let's go get this verse so you guys understand what I'm saying. Let's see. And I didn't reference this. That's not in there. It's need the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew, chapter 22. And we're going to start in, we're going to do this whole parable just so we can get the understanding of the parable. Let's start in verse 1. Matthew, chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right, thank you. And Yeshua answered and spake unto them again by a parable, saying, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, which are invited. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way. Took it, you know, didn't take it serious, went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servant. The ones who didn't leave, they stayed with the servant, the one that was bringing the message. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, he was angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then says he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, invite to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and what?
Good.
And the wedding was furnished with guests. There are going to be some people in Messiah's kingdom that are bad. Can we understand that?
Yes.
And they made it into the kingdom. They made it into the millennial kingdom. But my understanding is as time goes on, as time goes on, and Messiah is supposed to rule them with a what? Rod of iron?
Right.
And we are supposed to rule them. If we have a throne, we're supposed to rule them also with a rod of iron. They start to rebel. They start to have a change of heart. And they don't really want to be a part of it. And some bad people get invited. They're really already there. But he's going to sort them out. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not a wedding garment. And he asked him. He said unto him, friend. That's important because this man is, he invited both good and bad. But this one is a bad one, and he calls him a what?
Friend.
A friend. How camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I don't know. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you're going to have bad and good that make it into the kingdom. Because people think that as soon as Messiah comes back, that the wedding's going to take place. But the wedding's not going to take place as soon as he comes back. The wedding's going to take place after the 1,000 years. So when he comes and he makes this call and resurrects people, the wedding's not going to take place yet. The wedding's not going to take place until after the 1,000 years. There's going to be some bad people in his kingdom. Matter of fact, there's going to be so many bad people. Let's see how many bad people is going to be. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Let's see. Let's go to start in verse 7. When you have it, say amen. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 7.
Amen.
Amen.
And when the 1,000 years is expired, remember Satan is, he's locked up for 1,000 years, right, in the bottomless pit?
Right.
And after the 1,000 years is expired, it's over, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. This, that 1,000 years is the millennial reign of Messiah and those that get to reign with him for one day. The 1,000 years. And shall go out, and Satan shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number is whom as how many?
The sands of the sea.
These are all coming, these are not battling for Messiah, these are battling against him. Can you put a number on how many grains of sand on all the beaches of the world?
Nope.
No.
That's how great this number is. That's how many bad were invited. They're both good and bad. But the vast majority of them were bad. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And in this case, the Most High just says what? Sends down fire and does what? Devours them. Time for playing is over. But they're going to gather. He's going to first gather the tares out. Those are the extreme wicked. And there are going to be some saints that make it in. And they're going to have a change of heart. A lot of people say that they will worship and serve Messiah. But when the rubber hits the road, they won't do it. We can't be shallow like that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. That's where we were at. Yeah. Let's drop down to verse 49. And we're there.
Amen.
Amen. Now this is explaining, you know, that parable. The enemy that sold them is the devil. That sold the bad seed in the field. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth. Okay, so we read all this already. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. The book of Matthew chapter 16. And let's see. Matthew 16:27 is our reference verse, but I think we want to start reading before then. Okay, this is where Peter's telling him, okay. Let's start in verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Yeshua, and if we have it, say amen.
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 Amen. Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him do what to himself?
Deny himself.
And take up his cross. Then we read in Luke, he says, if you put yourself before me, if you love yourself more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be what? My disciple. Okay. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, not just lose your life, but for whose sake?
For Yeshua's sake.
Shall find it. Not because you're a Hebrew Israelite.
Nope, it didn't say that.
Not because you claim that, you know, you're the people of the book and you go out there running your mouth and you get all big and bad and they shoot you.
Nope, it didn't say that.
You got killed for the wrong reason, didn't
you? Yeah.
So we got to understand that. Just because we're black and they're shooting us down don't mean that we're going to get justice or we're going to be redeemed by Messiah, because we're getting killed for the wrong reason. We're getting killed as a result of our what? Captivity.
Disobedience.
Amen. Verse 26. For what is a man, profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good is it going to do you if you get everything in this world? I told you to give up everything in this world. If you gain everything in this world, you're going to lose your what?
Your soul.
Soul. Because you're going to do those things to get those things that are in this world. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And every person has to ask themselves that question. What is your soul worth? What price would you put on it? What wouldn't you give up to keep from losing your soul? Because we got people out there that be like, you know what? I ain't willing to pay that price. But they'd rather lose their soul, because to them, their soul don't have no value, because to them, they got people out there that don't even believe that they got a spirit themselves, that they are a spirit. They just think they're losing this body. And I was like, what? But the truth of the matter is, if you lose your body, if you lose your soul, what wouldn't you give up? What would you give in this world, or what in this world would you take in exchange for your soul?
Nothing.
Amen. I would pray nothing. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his what?
His work.
According to his works. And that's what Revelation says, chapter 20. Every man's going to be judged according to his what? Works. So the book is consistent all over the place. How we can get a different story, how we can get this wrong, I don't know. But I do know. It's just not given to them to get it. Go to Matthew chapter 22. So whether you are good or bad, you're going to be rewarded according to your works. Matthew chapter 22. And let's start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Make sure we're on the same page. Thank you. And let me find something here or something else. Okay. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And Yeshua answered and spake unto them again by parables and said. Now he's speaking in a parable. That means that he don't really want them to understand. Why do you speak to them in parables? Because it's not given to them to understand. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants and called them that were bidden to the wedding, and they came not. And we just read this. So why am I going back here? Never mind. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Am I jumping all over the place here? Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. My bad.
25?
Yeah, 25. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. And let's start in verse 1. And when we have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. This parable has a lot of implications into it, because we got one bridegroom and how many brides?
10.
Just saying, things that make you go, They were foolish that took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, while he was away, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Now, so we got 10 virgins. 5 of them got lamps with oil. 5 of them don't have lamps with oil. And it says the foolish ones are the ones that were without the oil. What does oil represent in the scriptures? What's one representation for the oil? Nobody?
I don't know. Nope.
The Ruach HaKodesh. The oil represents the Spirit of the Most High. That's why when you anoint somebody, you anoint them with what?
Oil. I got
it. Oil represents the Spirit of the Most High. It's the physical representation of His Spirit, which we can't really see or anything like that. But the oil represents that, even in the sacrifices that He gave them, when He told them in their sacrifices to mix the flour with what?
Oil.
Okay. It represents His Spirit. So these virgins, some of them have the Ruach HaKodesh, and some of them what?
Don't.
The foolish ones don't have the Ruach HaKodesh. They still want to be a bride. They still want to be a bride, but they never did what it took to get the Ruach. And at the last minute, now they're running around trying to get the Ruach, but it's too late. It's telling you. When he comes, is what?
Too late.
Too late to get the Ruach. Okay. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, Not so. You ain't getting none of my oil. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy yours for yourselves. Now, we know we can't buy the Ruach, but this is saying that they're going to try to wait until the last minute. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After came also the other virgins, these without the Ruach, saying, Lord, Lord, or Yah, Yah, or Master, Master, open to us, open the door, let us in. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you. Let's see, I lost my place. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I what?
I knew you not.
I know you not. Wait a minute. You were engaged to me. These weren't these virgins that were waiting on the bridegroom?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And waiting to go into the marriage, into the wedding chamber?
Right.
And he says, do what? Get away from me what?
I don't know you.
I know you. I
don't know you. Didn't we read that this morning?
Yes, we did.
Yep.
Many are going to say, Master, or Lord, or Messiah, Yah, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we feed the hungry? Didn't we do wondrous works in your name? And he told them, Get away from me. I know you not. He's talking about the same people. I don't know you. You say you know me, but I don't know you. You're trying to get married to me, but you don't have the ruach. Where's your oil at? Where's the Holy Spirit at? You're trying to get it at the last minute. Ain't going to work. I'm going to come and find you without the Spirit, and you're not going to get the Spirit. So this should be a lesson to us all that we don't want to wait to get the Ruach. Because if he comes down, we don't have it. We are out of luck. We are not going to be part of the marriage. Watch, therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to everyone according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Here's some money, maintain and make more money while I'm gone. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money, hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, Thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 more. His master said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Another parable says, Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over 5 cities or 10 cities, whichever he says in that other parable. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Master, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not reaped, hast not strown. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here is back what you gave me. His master answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received my own with usury is what? Anybody know what that word usury means? When you put your money in the bank, what do they pay you?
Interest.
That's what usury is. So he said, you should have put my money in the bank. At least I would have got received it plus what?
Interest.
Okay. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath ten. And for unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast you this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in the other scripture it says, bring him before me and do what?
Kill him.
Okay. Let's go to, so we want to be those profitable servants. We want to be filled with the Ruach. We want to have our lamps filled with oil. That means to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. We don't want to wait until he comes to try to get it.
Man.
And then we want to be doing the work that he gave us to do. We don't want to say, I'll get to it. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'll just hold on to it. I'll hold on to my salvation. He says, you'll lose it. Take it away from him. I pray we can hear this. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. We're right there. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Now we know that this is a future date. We know that he's on his throne. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. Who's on his right hand? The sheep, right? The sheep are my sheep, hear my voice. These belong to him, right?
Right.
That's who the sheep represent. Those that belong to him who hear his voice and do what he says to do. The goats, and I like to say, what do goats do to people? What are they known for doing to people? That's right.
It butter.
And you hear somebody always, you hear a saint saying that they're a saint and they're always doing but, they want to question everything but, like that. They got that goat spirit. But the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Master, or Yeshua, or Yah, however you want to look at this one, with this capital L is his name. When saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what I tell people when they understand the lake of fire. The lake of fire was prepared for who?
Devil and his angels.
And the devils and his angels, are they flesh and blood beings or spiritual beings?
Spiritual.
And this fire is prepared for spiritual beings. So now let me give you eternal life, make you a spiritual being, and throw you into this fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say, Master, when saw we thee in a hunger and a thirst, or a stranger, or a naked, or a sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer, these are those ones that said that they cast out all these unclean spirits. They did wondrous works. But he don't know them. When didn't we do this? Then answer ye unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. They were into doing wondrous works, but they weren't into doing the simple things that he wanted. Not worried about their fellow servant. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into righteous life, eternal. This is the judgment. All you that are wicked that I don't know, go ye into everlasting punishment. How long is everlasting?
Ooh, that's a, I don't know.
It ain't got a time limit on it. Forever.
No.
How long is forever?
Forever and ever.
Forever. It don't end, right?
Nope.
Don't have an ending to it. It got a start, but it don't have an ending. So it's a eternal what? Judgment. You're going in that fire into everlasting punishment. But wait a minute. Let's discuss this for a minute. So that when you run into people to say that, well, you know, you're just going to burn up in the lake of fire and that's it. Because you got people that believe that. It says you're going to be, if you have burnt up and you are ashes and the ashes just crumble, you don't really exist anymore. How forever is that? I mean, how long were you punished then if you can be burnt up?
Just until you can go to ashes, I guess.
Right, until you turn to ashes, that was as long as your punishment was, right?
Right.
But he says your punishment is how long?
Everlasting.
Forever.
Ongoing.
Because I'm going to make you a spirit. I'm going to give you eternal life. And you're going to feel this punishment forever. That's got to scare you.
Scares me.
It does me too. But I don't think people really, really understand that. Because surely, either they don't understand it or they don't what?
Believe it.
Believe. Right. He ain't really saying that. He ain't going to really do that. That's an eternal judgment. Some into everlasting life. Some into everlasting punishment. Everlasting is life eternal. Righteous into life eternal. The unrighteous into death, into punishment eternal. You understand that? That's what that everlasting means.
Everlasting.
Eternal means without end. Let's go to let's see, Luke chapter 10. I think we covered this from Matthew's this morning. We'll look at it in Luke tonight. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 10. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 10. And did we lose you, Sister Denise?
I think
no, I had my phone on. My clock was going off.
Huh?
I had my phone off because my clock was going off.
Okay. I got you. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 10. But into whatsoever city you enter, we're talking about the saints now. We're talking about those of us who are supposed to be converting people. Whatsoever city you enter in, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves unto us, we do what?
Wipe off again.
Against you.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding, be you sure of this. What are you bringing to them?
The kingdom of Yah.
The kingdom of Yah.
It's
come nigh unto you. It's come near to you, and you what rejected it. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethesda. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre, or Tyre, and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. So to report the same thing for the same story. As the saints, as the one spreading the gospel, where look, he's saying talking about a city, but in the city you're going to be talking to individuals. Today we don't really address whole cities, we address individuals. But the same rule applies. If they reject the gospel, then you're supposed to knock the dust off your shoes against them. And as I said, we have a hard time doing that with family. Have a hard time doing that with friends. We really, a lot of us have a hard time doing that with anybody. Because we don't want to be what? Condemning. But you got to obey the commandment. So did he say, if they won't hear you, did he say, keep going back to them?
Nope.
Did he say, forgive them for their sins?
Nope.
Did he say, tell them to come to the next meeting so you can convince them?
No.
Nope.
You got to understand, we don't want to, this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Verse 10 again. But into whatsoever city you enter, whosoever you talk to, and they receive you not, go your way. Go out into the street and say, even the very dust of your city, even the very dust of your house, which cleaves unto us, we do wipe off against you. Because we don't really address entire cities today. When they were walking, in those days, they would walk into a city and they'd be in the street screaming, or I'm not going to say screaming. I want to use another word for that. But, you know, talking with a loud voice, hollering, really, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then whosoever came to listen to them, that's who they would talk to. And then they would go into, you know, let me invite you to my house. Have you eaten yet? Have you, you know, the normal courtesy. And if you go into that house and it says if the house is peaceful, then you do what? You leave your blessing there. If the house is not peaceful, if it's not good, then you do what?
Take
your blessing back. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, this is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And so if you do it, then people are going to say, oh, you ain't a Christian. You can't judge me. Because it's what people say. They're trying to make you feel guilty, but you're doing what you were what? Commanded to do. And if you don't do it, then now you are in what?
In sin.
A lot of people don't understand that. Because they don't see it. They see it as like a suggestion. Well, I just won't talk to nobody about it. But you're commanded to talk to people about this gospel. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. The book of Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 1. When you have it, say amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, this is talking about, and you really have to, that's why I say you got to listen to people. The teachers and everybody. Because, you know, your own people. In the meantime, when there was, were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, inasmuch that they trod one upon another, they are what? They're packed in there, right? Stepping on one another.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What is the leaven of the Pharisees?
And I believe so.
Read it from the verse.
Beware of the leaven.
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. What kind of hypocrisy? Anybody know how they were being hypocritical?
They didn't believe that.
These things are important.
They didn't believe that. Jesus
so we have to know. He says their leaven, what they will infect you with is what? Hypocrisy. So what is hypocrisy?
Hypocritical.
What does that mean, though? Can't use the word in the definition.
Okay. Like you teaching us now, and I'll say, I don't believe it's a lake of fire.
Okay, is that being hypocritical?
No,
is that
no,
that's
more unbelievable.
You say something and do something else.
Say something and do something else. Or tell somebody to do something that you don't do.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's why he says, do what they say, but don't do it.
If you tell somebody to keep the law and you don't keep the law, what are you?
A hypocrite.
A hypocrite. You telling me to do something you don't even do.
Right.
That's a hypocrite.
Okay.
Make sense now?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And this is what the Pharisees, he said, this is the leavening of the Pharisees. Okay. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. So don't be afraid of somebody that can just kill your body. This is the only life we know, and we don't want nobody to kill us. He said, but don't be what?
Don't be afraid.
That's right.
Don't be afraid of it. That's all they can do to you. If you believe that he's going to raise you back up, then you know you're going to get back up again unto life. But I will forewarn you. I will warn you ahead of time whom you shall fear. Let me tell you ahead of time who to fear. Fear him which after he has killed you, has the power to cast you where?
Into hell.
Now, hell here is really representing the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I say unto you, fear who? Him.
Him.
Don't fear men. Fear the one after he kills you can throw you in it. Really what he's saying to you, fear the one that after he kills you can bring you back to life and torment you forever.
Back to life again. Then kill you again.
Right, and torment you forever. Fear him. So we need to understand that. Don't fear men. Don't fear losing your life. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you know you're walking up right before the Most High, and you're not being a hypocrite, because this is what the Pharisees, let's go get this. So you understand that that's what he's actually saying. He's saying the Pharisees' leaven is hypocrisy. But he doesn't really tell you what that is here. So let's go get it where he tells you specifically what their hypocrisy is. Just give me a hot second. Let me find this chapter. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to start in verse 1. So you understand what this hypocrisy is, not just Brother Miles said that that's what it is. Then spake Yeshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They sit in the seat of judgment, the seat of the law. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, whatsoever they tell you, observe. Whatsoever they tell you to observe, that observe and what?
And do.
But do you not after their what? Their work.
Their work.
So they're going to tell you to do something. Whatever they tell you to observe and do, that's what you do. But don't do after their works. Why? What do they do?
They
after the call. For they say and do not. They tell you to keep the law, but they don't.
But they don't.
Everybody understand that?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's their leaven. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. I'm going to put a burden on you, but I'm not going to help you in that burden. And really, I'm not doing it myself. But all their works, they do for it to be seen of what?
Men.
So they got these great flowing robes on. They got their phylacteries, which is the box that, you know, it says to put these before your eyelids.
Uh-huh.
The commandment. That's a phylactery. They make a box and they fit it on their head, or it's a box with a band on it, and it has the laws written in it, and they put it in front of their eyes. That's their phylacteries.
Mm.
And enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at the feast. They love to be honored, and the chief seat in the synagogue. We want the best seats in the synagogues. We want the uppermost rooms in the feast, away from everybody else. And greetings in the market, and to be called men, and to be called men, what? Rabbi. They love to be called teacher. But be ye not called what?
Brother.
Why?
For one is your master, even Christ.
Even Christ. And all ye are brethren. We're supposed to be all what? Equal. And call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father, which is where?
In heaven.
Neither be ye called masters. For one is your master, even Mashiach.
Right.
But he that is greatest among you shall be your what?
Servant.
So stop looking for glory. Stop looking to be honored. Stop looking to, you know, to have the chief position. Stop telling people to do things that you don't even do. Because now you're a hypocrite if you do that. Not saying don't keep the law. And I'm saying don't teach people not to keep the law because you don't keep it. But if you are telling people to do something and you don't do it, then you are a what?
Hypocrite.
Okay. And guess what's going to happen? He calls that what? Leavening, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What does leaven do?
Okay, let me get an example. Leaven is sin, so it messes up the whole lump.
So it will affect the whole group, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we got a group of saints, and some of them are trying to do good, and then some of them are doing bad, the ones that are doing bad will infect the ones that are doing good.
Right.
And cause, wait a minute, they're not doing it, so why do we have to do it? You ever heard somebody say something like that, like your child or something? Why I got to do that? Ain't nobody else doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why I got to keep the Sabbath when they don't keep the Sabbath? Well, I got to be holy. They ain't being holy. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It will infect and cause the whole lump to go bad. That's why you have to be real careful with people. And when they won't do what they're supposed to do, you admonish them, he says, twice. And then you do what? If they won't straighten up, you put them out.
Off your feet.
Right. You put them out. Because what will happen?
They'll corrupt you.
They'll corrupt you. They'll corrupt other people around them.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so, you know, they got this particular problem. You may not have that problem, but you might have another problem. You say, hey, I've been trying to stay away from this stuff. They're not doing what they're supposed to do, so why should I do what I was told to do? Because this is the human nature, and this is what people do. So if y'all not going to keep it, I'm not going to keep it. Or else I'm going to go somewhere else. But typically you get a large group and people don't want to move around, they will stop taking the word what? Seriously.
Seriously.
They don't mean what they say. That's why he said they say, but they don't do. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. So we don't, you know, we want to do exactly what the word says, and then we don't want to be not doing it. We don't want to say, yeah, we keep this, and then we don't. Because it's going to come, he says it's going to be brought to the light. And as soon as we get together, if you ain't been doing it, trust me, it's going to show up. Now, you said you've been doing this, but you ain't really been doing this. Then it'll be shown that we are hypocritical. And we don't want that. All right, let's go back to Luke. So everybody understand the leavening of the Pharisees is they say
and don't do.
They tell you what to do, but they what?
They don't do it.
They don't do it. I found a lot of brothers in Israel doing that. A lot of sisters too, to be truthful. Remember I did a precept on hypocrisy maybe about a year ago. Anybody remember that?
Hypocrisy.
On specifically hypocrisy. Because we had a lot of people calling in at the time saying they were doing X, Y, and Z, and then I'm getting calls from different people finding out that what these people are saying is not actually what?
The truth.
It's not the truth. They're saying one thing and doing something else. That's hypocritical. And then you're in a position of leadership. You're in a position that you're teaching. And that just can't be. Cannot be. So you can't be teaching and trying to teach people the right thing, and then you're teaching against porn, but you're watching porn.
Right.
You teaching against fornication and adultery, but you fornicating and committing adultery. You saying you keeping the Sabbath, but I call you, you out shopping.
Oh.
On the Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrisy. Teaching this stuff, but then when you check into them, they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 13. The book of Luke chapter 13. And let's see, we're not going to read all the way down to 24. Let's see where we're going to start here. Hold on a minute, let me find this and scroll back up and see where we want to start. Starting in verse 20. Luke chapter 13, starting 20? In verse 20. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of Elohim? And hold on a minute. Just a second. All right. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of Elohim? It is like leaven. Now, the kingdom, hear what he's saying. I'm going to compare the kingdom to what?
Leaven.
To leaven. Which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. Till the whole lump was what?
Leaven.
Leaven.
But what is he comparing to leaven? Is he comparing sin to leaven?
No, the kingdom.
The kingdom. So this word leaven don't always mean what?
Sin.
So what does the word leaven mean then?
Right.
To rise.
to rise, or, well, actually, let's see if we can do a little bit better than that.
Okay, let me go up. Hold on.
What does yeast cause flour to do? You just said it causes it to rise, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that rise is the end effect, but it actually caused a reaction in the flour, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That reaction was to what? Rise. Sin causes a reaction in the person. The kingdom of heaven causes a reaction in the earth. So leaven is something that causes something to react to something else. So can love be a leavening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can hate be a leavening?
Yes, it can.
Can, I don't want to say joy, forgiveness be a leavening?
Yeah.
Anything that causes a change in something else is a leavening agent. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So the kingdom of heaven, he can compare it to what? It's like leaven. It causes a change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It causes a reaction, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened, till the whole was changed. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be leavening in the world. We're supposed to bring about a what? Change.
Change.
We're supposed to cause other people to what?
Change.
To change. We're just not supposed to cause, we're not supposed to be what? Bad leavening. We're supposed to be good leavening. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
This is what, and when I did this precept, a lot of brothers didn't get it because they always equate leavening with sin. I said, well, how is the kingdom of heaven going to be sin?
Yeah.
I said, you're not understanding what he's trying to teach. You're supposed to be a change agent.
Mm.
And not for the negative. But for what? The positive. That's why when brothers say they're sitting around, they won't vote, they won't get involved with civic matters, we're waiting to get into our land, they are actually salt. Salt is a leavening agent. Does salt add flavor to a food?
Yes.
It changes it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are the salt of the earth. You are supposed to change people in the earth. And if you won't do anything, he says, then you have lost your flavor.
Mm-hmm.
If you got salt and it's just some grains and it don't have no saltiness to it, what good is it to you?
None
whatsoever. You might as well take that and throw it on the road and use it for what? Traction for your car?
Right. Because
it ain't going to be no good on your food. You might as well find another use for it.
What? Right.
That's why he said, when it loses its favor, it's only fit to be trodden underfoot for traction. But what it's intended to be used for, when it's good, to flavor, to preserve, to cleanse, it ain't no good for that anymore. It's a leavening agent. So I want us to understand that leavening is not always what negative. It's just that sin is a big what? Leavening agent. And a little, because it is a leavening agent, it is an agent that brings about change. When we sin, because of the change that it brings about, the scriptures use it in that regard a lot. But we got to understand that the kingdom of heaven is like what? Leaven. It's like a change agent. And when you understand that, then you should understand that you're supposed to be bringing about change. Until the whole world looks like what? What is the kingdom of heaven? What does the leavening of the kingdom of heaven do?
Change.
Huh?
It changes.
Changes, but how? I want you to go a little bit further.
What a good. It
brings about a good change, but when something is leavened by the kingdom, what should you see?
Righteousness.
Let me make it simple. The word of the Most High is a leavening agent, okay? When we read the word of the Most High and we study it, it's supposed to bring about a what?
Change in your life.
In your life, a change. So it's a leavening agent. When we are reading the word and we're studying the doctrines of Messiah, what are we trying to become?
We're trying to become like Messiah.
That's what's supposed to change you into, right?
Right.
Right. Supposed to change you into that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When, if the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, then when we are in the world and we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to convert the world to like the kingdom of heaven. When we get through, the whole world should look like what? The kingdom of
heaven.
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 Right here on the earth. Make sense to you?
Yeah.
Give you a different perspective of that?
Mm-hmm.
That is what we're supposed to be about. That's why we can't sit on our hands. That's why he says, when I return, will I find faith in the world? Did you take your talent and just sit on it? Or did you change the world to look like the kingdom of heaven? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? That's what the word is supposed to do. And so you're going to have people that accept it and people that reject it. You have people that can hear it, receive it and do it, and want it with their whole heart. And you're going to have people that just don't want to go to the lake. That's a different motivation. Well, I don't want to go to the lake, so I guess I'll do it. Instead of what? Loving the Most High and doing it from a position of love, they're doing it from a position of what? Fear.
Here.
That's a whole different motivation. If you do something for somebody because you love them, you're doing it because you want to do it.
Yeah.
If you're doing something for somebody because you know they're going to beat you behind if you don't, then why are you doing it?
Doing it out of fear,
right?
Right.
Two different motivations, right?
Right.
Yep.
How much, how do I ask this question? How much do you think the person that is doing something out of love, how much of themselves are they going to give to it versus the person that's doing it out of fear?
Out of
The one out of love will give it they all. The one out of fear, they doing it because they fear.
Right. They're going to do just enough to get by so that they don't get what? Beat down, right?
Right.
Right.
I'm going to do the bare minimum because I don't want you beating me down. You told me do this or you're going to beat me down. Well, if I know you can beat me down, then I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to be doing it to the best of my ability, and I'm not going to be doing extra. I'm going to do exactly what you asked me, no more than that, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm doing it out of love, then I'm going to go above and beyond. And you ain't even got to ask me to do it. I'm just going to do it because, what, I love you. And I want to be found pleasing. I'm doing it so that it pleases you. That's the difference in wanting the kingdom. That's the difference in fearing going to the lake and serving the Most High because you fear going to the lake and serving the Most High because you what? Love Him.
Yes.
Completely different motivations. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So the kingdom of heaven in Luke chapter 13, verse 21, or chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of Elohim? It is like leaven. I just want to make sure that we understand that leaven is not always sin. Leaven is a change agent. We are supposed to be leavening in the world. So we got people who are leavening for good, and we got people who are leavening for what?
Bad.
For bad. The good shall receive eternal life in the kingdom. Eternal life in the kingdom. The ones who leaven with bad, with sin, they're going to receive eternal what? Punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So our job today, and has been for the last 2,000 years since Messiah left, our job is to spread this kingdom in the earth, is to leaven the earth with ourselves, with our lives, to be change agents in the world, not to be fornicators or adulterers or, you know, covetous or thieves or liars or murderers. Not to be into all every type of, you know, perversity that there is that man can think of, because man can think of a lot of stuff to be perverse about. I mean, you name it, they think of it and they try to do it. You'd be like, how the heck did you even think about something like that?
Right.
Why would you think of something like that?
Absolutely.
Right. It, because they are wicked. That's why he said, man's thoughts, if he's carnal, his thoughts are evil what?
Continually.
That's his nature. Can't help it. So we as citizens of the kingdom, when it says that the kingdom of Elohim is likened unto leaven, then the kingdom is like a change agent. And if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we are being active, then we are bringing about a change in the world. Let us move on. Let's go down to, we're still reading, we're going to be reading down through 28. Okay, so starting verse 20 again. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of Elohim? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So we ourselves are supposed to be leavening in the earth, bringing about a change. That's what leavening does. Yeast causes a change in flour and causes it to rise. We're supposed to be a change agent in the world, causing it to look like the kingdom of the Most High. And he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Master, are there few that are saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter into the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, understand the question. Verse 23, there was a question asked of him. Then said one unto him. Now, he's on his way back to what? Jerusalem, right?
All right.
And he's walking, and he's making his way back toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Master, Lord or Master, are there few that be saved? Because I'm thinking about this stuff, and the way you're saying, it's hard for anybody to be what?
Saved.
Saved. So he asked, are there a few that are saved? And he said unto them, now Messiah said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, but what's going to happen to them?
And shall not be able.
Shall not be able to enter in. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand outside or without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, what?
I know you not.
Who are you? When we don't obey his voice, when we don't keep his commandments, he said he don't know us. My sheep hear my voice and obey. My sheep are full of my spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. They hear my voice and they obey. He's giving them an example. How many people are going to be saved?
A remnant.
Says, not many are going to be able to enter in. Why? Because they don't consider the cost. They don't value it. They don't value it the way that he wants it valued. So they're going to come knocking at the door like who else was knocking at the door trying to get in?
What
are you talking about tonight? The virgins, right? Right. You got 10 virgins, 5 of them with oil in their lamps, and 5 with not. The 5 with oil entered into the bride chamber. The 5 without the Holy Spirit, they came knocking, they went out trying to get the Holy Spirit, what, at the last minute?
Yeah.
And they were told to go buy their oil, to go get it, right?
Right.
Right.
Do you think they came back to that door without oil?
Probably did.
No, they came back with oil. But what were they told?
It was too late.
It was too late. Can't come in now. You waited. Too late. They would have got some oil.
Mm-hmm.
They came back trying to get in. So you don't want to wait until the what? Last minute?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to wait and be talking about, I got time. This is something that you need to be sure of that you got before he could crack the sky at any time.
Amen.
And you talking about, well, I need to get filled with the Spirit. I need my oil. You're going to say, I don't know you. This is the same what he's talking about in verse 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, I've shut the door, and you begin to stand outside, and to knock at the door, saying, Master, Master, open unto us. Open the door. Let us in. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. Whence are you? Who are you? Then shall they begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. We've been around you. and thou hast taught us, taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you. What? In verse 27?
I know you not. Who are you? Depart from me.
I was around you. We were around you. We heard you teach. We heard the word. And he's going to say to them, I know you not. Who are you? Depart from me. All you workers of what?
Iniquity.
You say you know me, but you don't know me. You heard the word, but you didn't do what I said do. Get away from me. I don't know you. You don't know me. You say you know me, but you don't know me. And I don't know you. It's like somebody, like I said this morning, somebody claiming that they know, you know, because they work for the mayor or the president. They start using his name. They work for him. They don't know him personally to throw his name around. But they're going to throw his name around to get some favors done. And then the mayor hears about it, or the president says, what are you doing? You ain't authorized to use my name. I don't know you. I didn't authorize you to do that. That's why many of them are going to say, did we not heal in your name? Did we not cast out unclean spirits in your name? Did we not do wondrous works in your name? He's going to say, get away from me. I knew you not. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence or who you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of Elohim, and you yourselves what?
Thrust out.
And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom. Men are going to come from the north, south, east, and west, Jew and Gentile, and sit down in the kingdom. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and they that are last shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Let's go to John chapter 5. The book of John, chapter 5. First, we'll go to John, chapter 14. And then we'll go to John, chapter 5. John, chapter 14. And let's get verse 17. We should be able to quote this by now. Verse 14 and 15. If you love me, do what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. Now let's go to John, chapter 5. And let's get verse 22. Actually, let's go back up. Let's read a little bit here. Going to read a couple of, we're going to be running a little bit late, but we're going to read this. Let's start in verse 1, and then we'll read this, and we'll stop here for tonight. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, Impotent folks are people who are just not whole. They are, something's wrong with them. Okay, they might be lame. They might be sick in some kind of way. Got, you know, blind, deaf. They are impotent. Not important. Impotent folk are blind, halted, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Now, in this pool, an angel used to come down and stir the waters, and whoever got into these waters while the waters were being stirred, they got cured. They got healed. For an angel went down to us at a certain season, a certain time, into the pool and troubled the waters. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the waters, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. Didn't matter. You could have whatever was wrong with you. If you were the first one in that pool, you got healed. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Yeshua saw him lie, he knew. Now, he's not talking about telling a lie. He's seeing him, what, laying down. When Yeshua saw him lying, or lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming," I'm trying to get there, "another steps down before me." And the rule is, first one in is the one healed, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the water being disturbed. He's making his way down there, but he is what, lame? Maybe he got one leg. Maybe he got, you know, two legs and one just don't work. But he's crawling. He can't make it there in time. Yeshua said unto him, "Rise and take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the what?
The Sabbath.
Sabbath.
So what do you think the Pharisees going to say?
That he healed on the Sabbath.
That he healed. He did a work on the Sabbath, right? They don't care about the healing. They just concerned that he did what?
Work.
Some work. They're going to talk about the healing, but really what they're saying, you ain't supposed to do no servile work on the what?
Sabbath.
The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day." It is what?
Unlawful. For thee to carry.
Carry thy bed. Now Messiah told, he was lame, he told him, get up and carry your bed away, right?
Right.
Right.
And they should have known that this was the lame man. What are you doing walking? Instead, they worried about him doing what?
Carrying his bed.
Carrying his bed. Everything ain't always what it seems to be. Okay. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, and he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is it that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" They still ain't thinking about that, what happened to this man.
Right.
And he said, "And he that was healed wist not who it was." He wist means knew, to know. He knew not who it was, for Yeshua had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. So Messiah healed him and what? Left. And Messiah didn't ever tell him who he was. He said, "I don't know who it was, but the one that healed me told me to get up and take my bed." After Yeshua findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Do what?
Sin no more."
Try to repent and try not to sin.
No, that sin no more.
Sin no more. Like I told you, this stuff about trying don't work with the Most High. Well, I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying to do better. He said, what did he say? Sin no more. Least a worst thing come upon to you. A worst thing what? Come unto thee.
Something worse will happen to you.
Right. But, you know, people are saying, hey, I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying to do better. No, when you repent of that thing, you repent of it and you stop. Least what?
Leave it alone.
A worse thing come unto you. Everybody hear that? Understand?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so what should you be telling people when you're talking to them about salvation and talking to them about stop sinning? And they say to you, well,
sin
I'll
no
try.
More.
Right.
No. Don't try. Do
Don't
it.
Try. You better what?
Do it.
Do.
You better do it. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Yeshua, Jesus, which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Yeshua and sought to slay him. He had somebody to take up their bed, and what are they trying to do to him?
Kill him.
Kill him.
They're trying to kill him for this. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, this is how serious now. The Most High says if you do work on the Sabbath, you're supposed to what? What does the law say? You're supposed to die, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the law says. You go doing something that you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. The law requires that you die. But here's the one, the master of the Sabbath. And he's saying, hey, you can do good works on the Sabbath. This man had been in his bed how many years?
38 years.
Messiah said, get up and pick up your bed and go home. Now, is this something that this man did every day?
Probably. You mean carry his bed?
Did he carry his bed there every day?
No. Yeah.
He was lame, right?
Right, yeah.
Somebody had to bring him there.
Right.
Did he carry his bed for a living?
No.
No.
So this is not servile work. I was brought here in this bed. It needs to get home. It's the Sabbath. I'm going to need my bed tonight. What do the Pharisees want him to do?
Probably lay back down on it, put his bed down and lay back down on it.
Leave it there. Don't be carrying it. So there are some exceptions to everything. Everything ain't always what it appears to be. You can go about doing good on the what?
Sabbath.
Sabbath.
You think it would have been a good thing for him to take his bed home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't planning on coming back out here. I'm definitely not coming back out here and sitting by this pool. I'm whole.
Right.
I'm healed. But they want to kill Messiah for this. Let's see what he says. Therefore did the Jews persecute Yeshua and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Yeshua answered them, my Father works hitherto, my Father's working now, and I work. It's the Sabbath. I'm going about doing good. I'm going about doing what? Healing people. Is that a good thing?
It is.
What did he say to them in another place? Let me see if this is where he does this. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that Elohim was his what?
His Father.
Making himself equal to Elohim. Then answered Yeshua and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he has seen the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, that also does the Son likewise. So Jesus tell him, I didn't cure this man on my own. Who did I see cure him?
My Father.
My Father. And I just manifested it here. My Father told me to tell him to get up. So he's trying to give them an example. That's why I tell us, we got to have the Ruach HaKodesh, and we have to do, it's not us doing the healing, who is it?
The Holy Spirit, the Father. The
Holy Spirit, the Father, in us. We lay hands on somebody and they are healed, it's not us doing the healing. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father within us doing the healing. You're not just going to go lay hands on somebody. Who's got to tell you to do it?
The Father.
The Father, the Holy Spirit. It's got to tell you to do it. You're not going to heal nobody. But the Spirit of him that's in you will do it. For the Father loveth the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, gives them life, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man. But who judges?
The Son.
The Son. You're doing all the judgment through Mashiach. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, I'm going to judge you for not keeping my commandments. I'm the one judging. And when you get up in the great white throne judgment, who's judging? Who's on the throne?
God.
It's Messiah on the throne. Judging. Right. Let's go. Let me find someplace else for here. Let's see. Let's see where I want to find another example so to drive this home so we understand this fully. Give me a hot second here. Let's go to John chapter 7. Let's see. I think we can start. Let's start at verse 15. Let's just start at verse 15. We can get the gist of what's going on here. John chapter 7, starting in verse 15. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. And the Jews marvel, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now they perceive that Messiah is what, unlearned?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Elohim, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him The same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you do what?
Keep the law.
What did he accuse the Pharisees of before? Hypocrisy.
Yeah, hypocrite. Hypocrisy.
You say to do this stuff, but you don't do it. Didn't Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go you about to kill me? If you ain't keeping it, how are you going to say that I'm breaking it and you're going to try to kill me when I'm not breaking
right.
it, but you saying that I'm breaking it? And then you want to kill me, but you won't kill yourself and you don't keep the law. The people answered and said, thou has a devil. Who goes about to kill you? Yeshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision. I want us to understand this. Hear what he's about to say. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of who?
Moses.
But
of who?
But of
what fathers are he talking about?
Say it again. What did you just say?
What fathers is he talking about?
Abraham.
Amen. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The circumcision was given to first who? Abraham, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that covenant comes from. It was passed along to Jacob and to Isaac. To Isaac and then Jacob. Of the fathers, Moses just modified the doctrine of circumcision. Because the circumcision, the original circumcision was for possession of the land. Everywhere you walk, Abraham, I'm going to give you that land. And this is the covenant between me and you. All your males shall be what? Circumcised. That's where this doctrine comes from. So he says, it was not because it was of Moses. This came from the fathers. This came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was the promise given to them. And you on the Sabbath day do what?
Circumcise a man.
Is that a work?
Yeah.
It is. Is that what they do every day? When a male child turns... When a male child is 8 days old on Monday, do they circumcise him?
Yes.
On Tuesday?
Yes.
On Wednesday?
Yes.
You got the point, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is the Sabbath, and you circumcise. You're not supposed to do no servile work on the Sabbath. But to keep the law of Moses, which is a good thing, you do what?
Circumcised on Sabbath.
And are you making that person whole? No, you just caused them to bleed, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You wounded them. And now you're going to get on me about making somebody well?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody get the gist of this?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision. Not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man in every way whole on the Sabbath day? You cut him and cut some skin off of him. He's got to be bandaged up. He's hurting. And you will do that to keep the law of Moses. And here I am. I make somebody well, and you want to kill me. So what does he say in verse 24? Judge not according to what? It looks like I'm doing a work. It looks like I'm doing a work. But judge after what?
Righteous judgment.
I did a good work. You're gonna circumcise somebody. They go on home sore, bleeding, and you're gonna do that to keep the law of Moses. I'm gonna stop them from bleeding and make them whole, and you want to kill me. That's why I said everything ain't always how it what looks. And so we have to be very careful when we judge people for doing things on the Sabbath. Is it good for a doctor to heal somebody on the Sabbath?
Yeah,
if you, I bet you if you was in a car accident and you went into the hospital, you wouldn't want them telling you, no, we can't work on you because it's the what?
The Sabbath.
Sabbath.
That would be going even against what Messiah said. I healed on the Sabbath. Why wouldn't a doctor heal on the Sabbath? So even your occupation can have something to do with this. Your house caught on fire. It's the Sabbath. The fire department won't come out. What you gonna do? Get the water hose and do the best you can, right?
Yep.
And just watch it burn up, really. So he says, don't judge things after the appearance. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58, and we'll stop after this. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
So we want to make sure of what Messiah is telling us. Let's get verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. And when you have it, say amen.
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 If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing what?
Thy pleasure from my whole
your
day.
Pleasure. This is something for what? You, right?
Right.
From doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing what?
That own way.
Your own way. Not trying to, you know, do everything that has to do with not keeping the Sabbath. Oh, I'm going to go wash the car. I'm going to go cut the grass. That servile work, and it's for who?
For you.
You. I'm going to go to the football game on the Sabbath. Not doing thine own ways or finding thine own what?
Pleasure.
Things that are pleasing to you. Nor speaking thine own words. This is what he don't want us doing on the Sabbath. Set the Sabbath aside. And if, unless it's an emergency, don't do it. He gives other examples. He says, if you had a sheep or you had sheep,
mm-hmm.
and one fell into a hole on the Sabbath, what did he say? Would you not pull it out?
Yeah.
Right.
That would be a good thing. If one of your friends calls you and they got a flat, do you tell them it's the Sabbath and you can't come out and help them?
No.
You go help them, right?
Yeah.
Because you're doing a good. It's not for your own pleasure. I'm sure you're not taking pleasure in going to change this flat. Right. You're doing it because it's what? Necessary.
Right.
It's a good work. You got somebody that's in the hospital. You're going to go visit them. You're going to do whatever for them on the Sabbath. You can do that. He says, do good works on the Sabbath, but don't seek your own what? Pleasure?
Mm-hmm. What is that?
So that's what he wants. This is what he has always been about. The man that got killed in Exodus for picking up sticks, why did he get killed?
Because that was for his pleasure. He was doing that for himself.
For his comfort, right?
Right.
He should have done that when?
That Friday. The day before.
Yeah, the day before. Should have did that before the Sabbath. If he didn't do it before the Sabbath, he should have left until what? Until after the Sabbath. Everybody
right.
Understand this concept?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can go about doing good, and this is what Messiah was telling them. And he used the very act that the priest could use. Hey, you circumcise people on the Sabbath day, on the eighth day. On the Sabbath day, it's their eighth day after they've been born, a male. You making them not whole. They're not well when they come from you. I'm making them well, and you want to kill me. You doing a work, and I'm doing a work. The work you're doing is to obey the law. The work I'm doing is to make somebody well and whole.
Bottomize.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me ask a question. Pastor Miles, here's a situation you brought up about a man having a flat tire and you stop on the Sabbath to help him. What about if your neighbor, I am in the field of trades and need some help in repairing some plumbing?
No.
What would you suggest? No.
Before you even ask, I'm telling you no. Because he's doing what? He's working for his money, right?
No, for no money. I am not doing anything for money. Helping the neighbor with some plumbing or helping the neighbor build something. My views on it is that there are certain things that could wait after the Sabbath to get
that's,
done.
But that's not an emergency, is it?
Yeah, it's not an emergency. That's really what I am thinking.
That's not an emergency. He wants
Sabbath,
you to help him because you know how to do it.
I wear something.
And the world does
something,
things
yes.
on what? The Sabbath? Because they don't have to work at their regular job.
Okay. All right.
So the answer to that would be no. You still got to observe the
All
Sabbath.
Right. Except if it's an emergency.
Right. Okay. It'll be different. It'll be different that his plumbing got clogged up and it's overflowing and he needs help to keep it from flooding the house.
I get you.
That's a totally different situation.
That's right.
But
I want
you to come over and help me remodel my bathroom. Put in this plumbing. Brother, I help you Monday or Sunday through Thursday with that, but I can't help you today. Well, man, I'm at work those days. Well, I'm sorry. We'll do it after your work or whatever. We have to stay up late, but we can't do it on a Saturday.
Very clear, very clear.
All right, amen. No,
amen.
I think you
Thank
understood
you.
It from the beginning, because even I know that you won't even let somebody use your tools on the Sabbath.
That's correct. I think it reminds me of a cattle that was being used for tools, and so I figure my tools are not supposed to be used, definitely.
Right. You're not working, so your tool's not working. It makes perfect sense.
That's right.
So, yeah. So if they're calling you and asking you to do something, and it's not an emergency, because they got they got water flowing everywhere. They weren't trying to do it. It just it's something that happened, and they say, hey, we got an emergency, we need help. Yeah, by all means. But they're trying to do a home improvement, and you do tiling and you understand how to do that stuff and they just want your help on that day, no. That's a totally different circumstance.
Very clear. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
All right. Amen. All right.
Amen.
So any other questions in this area?
Not for me, because I don't do nothing on the Sabbath.
Amen. You know, if you can get by with doing nothing, what I mean by, you know, not doing any good works as well, you know, you can stay in.
Somebody
you're completely
help,
within the
help.
Laws of the Sabbath. You concentrate on the Most High.
Right.
If something comes up.
Needed my help, or anybody needed my help, and they were serious about it, then yeah, I would help them. But just to go outside and do some stuff?
No, not just to go outside. It needs to be what an emergency, or it needs to be that you're doing a. If you go visit somebody in the hospital on the Sabbath, that's allowed, because you're going to be doing something for them. It's not for your pleasure.
Right.
But Pastor.
Uh huh.
Pastor, on the Sabbath, what do you?
Congregating on the Sabbath, going out to congregate on the Sabbath, you know, with like-minded individuals, is also a blessing, is it?
You can go out on the Sabbath to congregate with people, to worship the Most High, to study the Word of
to
the
worship.
Most High. Right, to worship.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That's not, you can do that.
Right. I beg your pardon?
I say we're not going out because we don't want COVID, and we're remote from each other.
Right. All right.
But yeah, you can go to wherever on the Sabbath if they are worshiping the Most High, and you know, Bible study or whatever. Yes, you can do that. It was Messiah's custom to do what? Let me find this for you. Right. So let me find this. We'll read it in the scripture. So if Messiah can do it, you can do it.
Amen. Amen.
Hold on just a second. I'll find this. I know this is in the gospel. Yeah, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to get verses 15 and 16. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Charlton, are you at Luke chapter 4?
I am actually driving you on. I'm listening to you at the same time.
Okay.
That's
all right,
why.
Yeah, I don't want to
talk about
Luke. Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving.
Okay, so I'm going to read this to you, okay?
All right.
And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So what was Messiah's custom? He would go into the synagogue to read on the Sabbath. So does that answer your question?
Very clearly, always.
Amen. So it's by the word. If he can go into the synagogue and read on the Sabbath, he can go to church on the Sabbath. and worship and read
amen,
the word
amen.
And praise and glorify him. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, that's where you should be going anyway. All right. Any other questions?
No.
All right. If there's no other questions, then we will pick this up on next week. Still not quite finished with it yet. Still got to go through the book of Acts and Romans and these other books concerning this, this eternal judgment. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you for clarifying to us that we should obey your voice and that we should do all that you should say. And that you're going to tell all those people who don't obey you, who don't keep your commandments, that you don't know them. Doesn't matter what they say. They can say, hey, we were with you when you were teaching. We heard the word. We were in church every Sabbath and every Sunday. We went to Bible study. But they never obeyed your voice. You're going to tell them, I know you not. I don't know you. Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we drive out unclean spirits? Didn't we do wondrous works in your name? You're going to say, I don't know you. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. Just because people say that they know Messiah, that they know God, doesn't mean that they know him. Just because somebody heard about him doesn't mean that they know him. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you know him. This is the very people he's talking about. He's going to say, get away from me. I don't know you. You claim to know me, but I don't know you. I don't know you because you don't do what? You don't keep my commandments. You don't do what I say do. Depart from me into everlasting torment. This is the judgment that he says. It's an eternal judgment. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. You say you know me, but I don't know you. So, Father, give us a heart and a mind to know you, to obey your voice, to keep your commandments, and most of all, to fear you.
Amen.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right.
Amen.
So tomorrow morning we will have the wave offering.
Yes.
The set of first fruits on tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. We're not celebrating Easter. We are celebrating the feast of the what? First fruits?
First fruits.
And the wave offering. Okay. And so I pray to see you guys there in the morning, 10 a.m. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Have a blessed rest of your evening.
Shalom.
Same to you.
I just won't play.
The world and the universe. have the women. I think it's amazing. It's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah. Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo. What can I do?